The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Our presenting sponsor for today is CrossRope, the fun and effective weighted jump rope workout you can do anywhere in under 30 minutes. This isn't your childhood jump rope. No, no, no. CrossRope's weighted jump rope system lets you adjust the resistance to meet your goals. You burn more calories in less time while strengthening your core, back, arms, glutes, and more with every jump. And with the free CrossRope app, you'll get access to quick, easy-to-follow workouts and fun challenges you can do anytime. Get strong and stay healthy whenever, wherever, with CrossRope. You're crazy. Hi, everybody. I hope you're doing well. I hope that your life is fine. I know there's a lot going on right now. But either way, thanks for tuning in. I hope that you find this to be a release and a nice fun break in your life with whatever it is you're dealing with.
That'd be good.
Whatever it is you're dealing with. And we thought we'd have our guest, Kalen Allen, on because he's such a breath of fresh air.
He is such a breath.
And he makes you feel good. He's fun to listen to. And so no matter what you have going on, we promise you, you're going to feel better after listening to this episode.
Yeah.
If you don't know who Kalen Allen is, well, first of all, where you been?
Get it together.
He is a very talented, multi-talented personality, actor, yeah. Musician, singer, has a new Christmas album out, was discovered by Ellen.
Yes.
He's kicking ass on the Ellen DeGeneres show. We talk about his experience there, his thoughts on everything going on in that show,
yeah.
and his life and his Christmas album and his perspective on life. And it was just a ton of fun. And I'll stop talking about it so you guys can listen to the episode. If there's nothing else, thank you as always. Please subscribe. Please rate us 5 stars. We could use some more 5-star reviews. Could you give us 5 stars? That'd be great. Thanks. Anything else? There's a fun Patreon out there of all movie recaps, Bachelor stories, recapping Andy season of The Bachelor right now on my Patreon, Nick V Talks Trash TV. So be sure to check that out. We have some amazing new merch out there, vilefiles.com. Check it out. We have beanies, t-shirts, breakup books, all fun sayings. Great Christmas gift if you're looking for your Christmas yeah. presents now. Get some merch. We love you. Other than that, I say we get to Kalen Allen. Kalen, thanks so much for coming.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. You know, what a wonderful day to be here.
I'm so happy you came. You have this constant glow about you when I met you and anytime I see you on TV. And today we are recording this, for those of you who may not know. We are recording this Wednesday morning, November 4th. The election. The election really is still going on.
I don't even think you can say after the election.
All Americans. I saw a tweet I thought was pretty funny. It's like all of America is waiting for an STD test.
Yes. That's what it feels like. Everybody's
that's
waiting for
true.
The test results.
Yeah. Yeah. And so by the time this episode drops next week, we may or may not know the results. With that said, everyone is feeling heavy, regardless yeah. of who you vote for. It's and yet, I'm curious how you go about stressful times in your life, when things seem down, when things seem scary, how do you keep yourself sparkling?
Well, you know what? I think, like, even today, I don't necessarily know if I feel heavy. You know, now, 2016, I felt heavy
yeah.
the day after.
Yeah.
You know, I was living in Philadelphia. It was cloudy. Nobody was going to class. Everybody was just really upset. I don't necessarily think that I feel that way today. I think I feel hopeful. I think I have faith. And I think that's probably what keeps me lifted, is that I like to try and just always think of, like, I'm the type of person, like, I look at a glass half full, not half empty. You know, so I try to always be optimistic. And if it turns out to be something that is not of my favor, then I'm like, okay, well, what? How do I counteract that with more positivity?
Yeah. How do you find the small wins? Shavings make a pile.
Yes. Shavings make a pile.
Really, I had to remind a lot of friends today. It's just like, first of all, everything's fine so far. We don't. Also, like,
Twitter did their job.
But everyone just like look at what has happened, not what didn't happen,
right?
And try to where did you have some success,
right? Well, we've definitely
things are going to change overnight.
Oh, I mean, we've already seen a shift with certain people from the night that was like, oh, we did this, to this morning. It's like, oh, I'm shaking in my boots, bitch. You know, like it's very much given that.
Yeah,
yeah. So you always try to, no matter what, whether it's an election or in life. Are you good at that in the moment, or do you have to just kind of have like, all right, Kaylin, you know what I'm saying? Like some people, like right away, something doesn't go their way and they just remember to take a moment. I myself, it takes me like a half hour.
Oh, I'm right in the moment. I'm a very resilient person. Something falls down, I'm like, okay, well, what's next? What's the solution? Like even if something goes wrong and people come to me, I'm like, okay, quit complaining about it, because complaining about it's not going to change anything. What is the solution? I am very solution-based with everything in my life.
Have you always been that way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that just may be the fact of being like black and gay. You had to be, you know, solution-oriented. It's like when somebody try to tear you down, you got to be like with a clap back immediately, you know?
That's a t-shirt. No, black and gay, also solution-oriented.
I mean, right. I don't know, but I can understand. I mean, straight white male here, if it's like... You know,
not so solution oriented. Right.
No, I am, but I'm saying like I haven't been required to overcome as much adversity.
Yeah,
it's been like it's fine, everything's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, that's feels good to hear.
Yeah.
Because I think we definitely live in a time where just if people panic, no matter what. Mm-hmm. They think of work. It's definitely a glass is half full world we're living in these days.
Yeah,
and I get it. Why? I mean, I get the fear. I get the no matter what your situation is, but it's all.
Well, you know. I think at this time, people are a lot more hopeful because we need it. We honestly need it. This year has been absolutely atrocious for everybody, and I think now we are like. I said, like, it feels like it's Groundhog Day. It's like, whoever wins, this is going to determine the rest of this year. You know, like, we need this to turn around so that we can be hopeful for the next month to feel like something good is going to come to us, you know? And I think that's why people are really holding on and holding on. You know, last night I was on Twitter and I was like, see, I like Twitter during this time because it's of substance. People are... tuned in. They are knowledgeable what they're talking about. Any other time they just tweeting foolishness, you know. There's a shift in the atmosphere of what people are caring about, and you know, and that people are interested. I mean, the fact that we have had such an amazing turnout of voters this season is proof that regardless of a pandemic, this was something that people cared about.
Yeah, that was reassuring.
Everyone, I love watching those little maps where they like this county,
right?
This county, because then you're like, oh, that's so crazy that that many people in that little place can make that big of a difference.
And counties that you never heard of, like they're on like ABC News and they're talking about this county. And I'm like, who? I don't even know where that is, you know?
But that little group of people can make such a difference because every one of those little tiny votes make a big difference. It's so crazy to think that way.
Yeah. So you just launched. A new album. Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's very exciting.
Thank
you. Would you like to share a little bit about it?
So
And speaking of getting people in the good mood.
Yeah.
It does. And that is the whole purpose of it. You know, so I just released a Christmas album called For Christmas Sake, and I started it at
Christmas Sake.
It's right?
So good. Yes. It's so good.
Thank you. So I started it at the beginning of the pandemic because first of all, I am a true lover of Christmas. I love the holidays. Like, I am probably as bad as Mariah Carey. Like, I get so festive when it comes to Christmas. Like, I'm like, let's festive, baby. And so when I made the album, I did it with the purpose of bringing joy and happiness to homes this season, because I knew that the Christmas season was going to be so different. And a lot of people have asked me, they're like, well, is it a comedy album? Are you talking about food? I'm like, no, I'm singing. Like, it's an actual album. Like, I went into the studio.
And people don't necessarily think of you
right
necessarily as a mm-hmm. a singer.
Yes, correct.
And yet you have a voice of an angel.
Thank
he
you.
He does.
Thank
like, when you. When
you
do some of them Disney songs, yes. I'm like, oh, hell. So good.
Thank you.
Well, I never thought of that, but I feel like we all, everyone, whoever you are, mm-hmm. might need Christmas a little bit more this year.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people have been, when I announced the album, a lot of people were like, well, we haven't even got to Thanksgiving. And then some people were like, no, we need this right here, right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm putting up my tree tomorrow. I bought a Christmas see? Tree last night on the election. I'm putting it up tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that will make it November 5th.
Okay.
And I'm not even, this is the first time I've put up a Christmas tree in years. Now, granted, being a new homeowner, there's a little bit more like, I'm really enjoying the new home. I'm enjoying the curtains and the blinds. And I was at Home Goods last night. I'm really thriving in the homeowner space. But also, yeah, it's just like, you know what? I want this. I need this. Mm-hmm. And I haven't put up a Christmas tree in my place in maybe 6 years.
6 years?
That's terrible.
Yeah, well, because for me, you know, I'm not Scrooge or anything, but it's uh-huh. just like I didn't really have a place where I felt like decorating. Right. It was right. just like, hey, I live here. Yeah. I'd always go home for Thanksgiving and then go back home for Christmas.
Okay.
So it was like, I personally, for me, haven't been, you know, like a lot of diehard Christmas lovers where it's just I really get into it. But this uh-huh. year, I'm just like, you know what? I want this. I need this. It
well, feels where'd you good. Get your Christmas tree from?
I got it at Home Depot.
Okay.
And I went through a whole process of, I really wanted a real one.
Okay.
But because I'm putting it up in the first week of November, I want it to last through Christmas.
Okay.
There were some reports from people that it might not.
Yeah, I don't think it would have lasted. But I got mine from Balsam Hill. And that was an expensive tree.
Yeah, I was on Balsam Hill's website last night.
Okay.
Because when you Google, and they're not a sponsor of this show, but when you Google best fake Christmas tree, Balsam Hill.
Right. Well, apparently they use them on the Hallmark movies. Like, apparently, like, in those Christmas movies. Yeah, like, and that's why they look realistic. Oh. So that's why I was like, ooh, well, let me go look at it. But that tree was, like, $2,000.
Yeah. So the tree I looked at for Balsam Hill was, like, $1,200. And I was prepared to pull the trigger. Uh-huh. Like, I wanted a quality. I was just like, you know what? This is uh-huh. an investment. But I went to Home Depot, and the one that I found was not. It was like $350. Mm-hmm. And it has some of the fake snow on it, which mm-hmm. honestly, from afar, I never thought I would buy it. But it looked.
Like, you might as well have bought a pink tree in my book.
Oh, my God.
No, it looks good. It looks good. Very it looks chic. Frosted. It looks, is Matthew McConaughey would say.
It looks frosted. It looks frosted.
Frost yourself.
Frost yourself.
And it comes with a lot. And honestly, it looks, I wouldn't say, it I mean, clearly it's not. It's going to look fake because it has the white on it inside, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. it looks good. It doesn't, and well, I was like, you know what? I'm done. This is easy.
Well, to be fair, the reason why I wanted to get that specific tree was because I knew with the Christmas album, with Corona, yeah. I wanted to do a virtual live concert from my living room.
That's such a good idea.
And so I was like, well, if I'm going to be filming in my living room, then I need it to look festive. I need it to look yeah. real. And so that's why I got it.
I think you need more than one tree.
Oh, no, ma'am. Not if it's coming from Balsam Hill. Only one.
Can we get Balsam Hill to, like, maybe hook it up?
Please, please send me one or something, because, baby, y'all breaking my bank for Christmas. I can't even get gifts no more.
Your gift is my Christmas album. Okay. Here you go. Thank
here you go.
Much.
An ornament.
So you haven't recorded this live music?
Not yet. I haven't done it live yet. I've only...
Because it's about life. That's duh.
Right. Yeah. But, I mean, the good thing is that when you listen to the album, that is most of those are, like, my first take. Like,
oh, really?
I did all that. Like, there's no doctoring. There's no auto-tune. We don't do any of that, sweetie. But I've been a singer my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what I studied. I was a theater and film double major at Temple University. So I've always been rooted in music, and that's why I enjoyed it. I think my favorite song on the album is Christmas List Within You, and that's the song that I wrote. And so it really... just embodies what Christmas means to me.
It's fantastic.
The cover art is amazing as well.
Thank you. And you know, that's not Photoshopped.
I know.
The way that the hat goes, like, that's, we threw it, and then that's the shot. And then I was like, yep, that's it.
Childlike fun.
Childlike fun.
While getting that sexy adult body.
Oh, hey.
What a weird combination. But cross rope helps you do that, because jump rope is something we did as children. And when we think of working out today, we're thinking of like running and lifting weights and doing all these things that you can have fun doing. And jump rope is fun. And it's actually a fantastic workout. I've been using cross rope. They have weighted ropes. They have all different jump ropes. I use them all. And it's great for your core. It's great. You plyometrics, the explosiveness. And they have a, this really cool app that they give you a ton of different variety. It helps you mix it up, because like for me, I'm a creature of habit, and every time I use cross rope, I'm feeling like I'm using muscles I don't normally work out, and that's the key to improving.
And with the app, it advancing. Gives you new exercises.
Choose between cross ropes, get lean, or get strong jump rope sets, depending on your goals, or get the best value for both with the Get Fit Bundle. Track your workouts and see a map of your progress on CrossRope's free app. They even offer a 60-day risk-free money-back guarantee. I highly recommend checking it out. Right now, you can get $40 off the Get Fit Bundle plus free shipping at crossrope.com/VIALL. That's crossrope.com/VIALL. If your boyfriend, husband, or partner wants more oral sex, then they need to do their part too.
Well, yeah. How? What is that?
Groom, people. They need to clean it up down there.
Clean it up down there, fellas.
Crap.
No girl wants to go down there.
And I'll tell you what, Manscaped is making it easier for your partner. It's carefree. Maybe some people are just afraid of grooming because, you know, they don't want to, you know, damage the field.
I would think that the skin's very sensitive.
It is
there.
Very sensitive in there. But I tell you what, the crop care kit that Manscaped offers, you can literally, no pun intended, go nuts without harming anything down there.
They've got something called Crop Preserver, which is a ball deodorant like that. Like
they also really, yeah, balls. They release the, they give you A+ balls.
A+ balls.
I love A+ balls. And is an ultimate male hygiene hack. The crop care kit includes the Crop Preserver ball deodorant. The name speaks for itself.
No girl wants it to smell down there.
No.
They got ball toner.
Foot duster designed to keep the stankiest feet smelling fresh. Let's not forget about the best trimmer for your butt, balls, and body.
They've also got Crop Mop, which is ball wipes. That makes me happy. Crop Mop.
Listen, men are disgusting. Your man's probably super gross, and all you need in his life is Manscaped to... It's do yourself a favor. Get him this stuff, because no longer do you have to pay the price.
No, it makes going down happy. Better.
Mm-hmm. Get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with code VIALL. Add some swag to your saggy bag. That was their idea,
yeah,
not mine.
But
that's
so good. Add some swag to your saggy bag.
Where can people find?
Vine. Vine's gone.
I know. Where can they find? It's out now.
Yeah, well, you can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Apple Music. It is
Spotify.
Literally, yes, everywhere that music is available.
Okay.
It's so exciting.
So if you're listening to this podcast on Spotify, just go over to...
And get the album.
And what's the album called again?
For Christmas Sake.
For Christmas Sake. Mm-hmm. You better have some merch with that on it, because that's good.
Okay, For Christmas Sake, because the album is being done for Christmas Sake.
It's quite good. It will make you feel festive, joyful, happy, thankful.
Plus, the voice is just good.
Thank you. It's a little bit of everything.
It's one of the things I wish I
Christmas
could do.
Christmas starts
I wish
now,
I
everybody.
Sing.
If you're listening, just we give you permission.
Yeah.
You're not nuts.
No.
It's fine.
Live your best life.
Live your best life.
November 1st is Christmas season.
You are someone who, in the past few years, your life has changed drastically. Is that fair to say?
Oh, that's absolutely true.
Congratulations on
Thank
that, by
you.
The way.
Thank you.
Looking back, what is your perspective on it? Does it surprise you, or is there a part of you who thought, I wasn't sure how I would get to where I am now, but I always knew I would?
The second one. It was definitely a how. And I think the way that it happened was the most unexpected way because it all happened by chance.
Chance. Ellen discovered you.
Correct. And that was all for me laying in my bed around this time and making a video to like cornbread and potato salad just for fun, just for my friends, and posting it on social media and then it becoming a thing. And then from there, next thing I knew, I was moving to Los Angeles.
And so like what? You got an email or a DM from like, was it literally Ellen? Was it someone from her team?
Oh, no. Of course, it's a producer. But no.
I feel like Ellen's like constantly just internet.
Well,
looking.
That's how I got the job. So she saw the video and then she brought it to the team and was like, I want this guy. And then that's when I got a Twitter DM, actually. And I remember being in class and I remember getting the DM and grabbing my friend's arm and was just like, girl. It's Ellen. And then, like, I immediately left the classroom and was like, hi, I'm Kaylin. Would you like to meet? Like, I'm so excited that you messaged me or whatever. And then just like that, it just all happened so quickly, like so fast. Like, I still feel like I'm in a whirlwind all the time, you know?
Yeah. And so you moved immediately? They're just like, we want to hire you and like fucking I'm moving?
Yes. So that happened in November. And then in December, I filmed my first episode. It aired in January, and I moved January 13th to LA.
Damn.
Yep. And I finished school out here because I was a senior at Temple. And so I finished school out here, went back in May, graduated, and did all that.
Well, yeah. And that's not to be almost dismissed. A lot of people, you're in school, Ellen calls. She's like, fuck it. I don't need anything. I'm good. Yeah. I'm moving out to LA. And yet you decided to finish your education, finish school, and get your degree out here all while still on the Ellen Show.
Well, I was on a full ride scholarship. And so for me, it was just like, no, I need to get my money's worth out of this, you know? And I think also for me, it was just like, I didn't know what was going to happen once I got out here. And I am always about having a safety net. I'm all about stability. I was like, no, I need those degrees. Because say I need to go get a job if this falls through.
Yeah.
I need to be able to sustain and support myself, you know? I'm not the type of person being like, oh, here's a check. And I'm like, oh, thank you. And then, you know, then you blow that check and then you're like, oh, now I'm broke, you know? I'm not that person.
You're going to buy a Christmas tree and you're like, buy check.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Do you find someone who thinks that way too? I find myself to be too in my head. Like I'm always preparing for the worst. That's where like you say you're a glass half full. Mm-hmm. I want to believe I am, but I'm also like, yeah, the glass is half full, but what does it look like if it's half empty? And how do I fill it back up? And so sometimes I have a hard time enjoying the stuff that's going on in the present because of I'm like, well, this is great, but I need 5 backup plans.
Oh, I absolutely identify with that. I mean, when I got here, I fell into a huge depression because of that. Because of being scared of not knowing what was coming next or not knowing if I was doing the right thing or if what I was doing was what I was supposed to be doing. Was like, did I make the right choice? You know, is this worth it? And stuff like that, especially with me wanting to be an actor, you know, and that's what I studied. And I was like, oh, well, now I'm just making YouTube videos. Like, is that really what I'm supposed to be doing? You know, and so I battled with that back and forth. But what I had to start to understand was that was just a stepping stone for me to be able to do the things that I'm doing now. Like, I feel like now I'm really doing what I love to do, you know, with the Christmas album. I mean, I just had a movie with Seth Rogen come out. And so, like, doing those things, it's like, ah, I get it. And I think we have to learn as people is that everything that happens in our lives is for a reason. And just because where we are right now may not feel like this, where we're supposed to be, that does not mean that you won't get to where you are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
I love that.
Shavings make a pile, you know, just get there. Yeah. This movie with Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, an American Pickle on HBO Max. We shot it actually around this time again, about 2.5 years ago in Pittsburgh. And basically it's about Seth Rogen's character falls into a pickle brine. And he is brined for 100 years and wakes up in a gentrified Brooklyn. And then he finds out he only got one living relative. And he decides he wants to start a pickle business. So I play one of the people that help him get his pickle business up and running.
It's great.
Yeah. We're doing it, honey. We're doing
it. I haven't seen that movie yet, but now I'm excited to go back.
Oh, yeah.
And watch HBO Max. Mm-hmm.
No, I'm a huge Seth Rogen fan. And yeah. I was familiar with the movie. I don't know why I haven't seen it yet.
I mean.
I'm going to watch it now.
But it's a pandemic, and we have been overwhelmed with a lot of digital content.
We have.
We have.
Yes.
So happy for you.
Thank you.
You deserve it.
Well, if you like Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard, you'll like their diapers. I think that's safe to say, right?
I guess. I mean, they have kids, so they should know about diapers.
They seem like they know what they want. Diapers, I'll tell you what, I feel like are an important thing for your child's care.
Well, the important thing here is that you don't have to run to the store and get them all the time. They can ship them right to your house. My God, and you can pick what art is on them and what designs are on them and make it cute.
With Hello Bell, their diaper bundling service lets you choose from over 20 different fun rotating designs. Each bundle comes with 7 packs of diapers, 4 packs of plant-based wipes, love your wipes, and even one full-size product freebie with your first order. Just head over to hellobella.com/VIALL to build your bundle, and Hello Bella will send you diapers on a cadence that works for you. Plus, the shipping is free. And cancel anytime. No gotchas. You won't want to cancel, but you can. They're super fun, super absorbent, super affordable diapers. They're just super. Delivered right to your door from Hello Bello.
So super.
That's hellobello.com/VIALL to start your bundle with 25% off your order. Plus, get 15% off any add-ons like vitamins or wipes. That's hellobello.com/VIALL. When all this stuff happened with the Ellen show and things like that, what was your perspective?
Which part of it?
I don't know. Any of it. I mean, I'm an Ellen fan. Ellen's always been lovely and kind to me.
Like recent stuff? Yeah. Recent issues.
I feel like we just must acknowledge it.
I mean, at this point, it's kind of like impossible to not ask the question.
Yeah.
You know, now the difference is I think because it all happened during the pandemic, it was a shock for everyone. You know, for me, I've only been there a couple years now, but I don't go into the office that often to really know a lot of things, especially if there were things that, because, you know, most of the people that they talked to were like people from like years ago, you know? And so it's just like, well, I wasn't there during that time. And I think for me, what was interesting was that what I cared about was that if there were issues or things that needed to be addressed, first of all, I don't treat any establishment as perfect. I don't. And I was just like, well, what is the solution? What are the answers? What are we doing to fix it? And how are we healing to become the place that everybody wants us to be? You know, because I do believe, as somebody that has benefited from the show, is that I do believe that we do bring a lot of joy to people on a daily basis. We do that. But I also believe that if there are any flaws, those things need to be addressed regardless of how much you do for people. Yeah. You know, I just think that was my perspective on it. And I was, you know, very, very much a part of wanting to be a part of every conversation to learn more, especially because with working with some of the most amazing and talented people that dedicate their lives to that show and to what we do on a daily basis, I care that everybody was enjoying it just as much as me.
Yeah.
And even with the point of being like, please, if you feel like I don't appreciate you enough or don't tell you, please let me know how I can be better as well, you know, because I'm not the type of person that's a talent that's going to come in and just be a diva, you know, or something like that. So it was just like, please let me know. And I think it was a learning experience for me for whatever my future holds, you know, to know how to run a business or how to have a show or something like that, you know, to figure out what's the best way to approach it.
Yeah, that makes sense. And honestly, it sounds like it's continues to be in line with your mantra, if you will. It's like, all right. And I love that, right? You're not afraid to address problems. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes we are. We like to ignore problems.
Yeah.
Because let's just not think about it. Mm-hmm. But if they are, fine. Mm-hmm. You don't run away from it. And then you, again, try to figure out, there's a problem. Let's talk about it.
Right.
How do we fix it?
Exactly.
What's the solution?
Yes.
We found ourselves in a society today where, black and white, drastic, extremes. Mm-hmm. There's no middle ground. There's no conversations.
Well, that's the problem with cancel culture. You know, it's like we don't allow anyone to grow or to learn from their mistakes. Mm-hmm. We are automatically like, well, get rid of them, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's not everybody, regardless of how much money you have or who you are. Everybody is a human, you know? And humans make mistakes, and we have to allow ourselves to make mistakes. It only becomes a problem when people don't learn from the mistakes, when they continue to perpetuate the same behavior and nothing changes. That is when we fall into a bad place, you know? Yeah. But what I can say is that the actions that were taken and the things that we are still doing to this day are definitely happening within the establishment as a whole, you know? And if I felt as though I didn't love where I work or what I do or love her, then I would have left, you know? Mm-hmm. But I didn't. I stayed because I believed that whatever needed to be done was going to be done to the fullest extent.
Yeah, I love that. And too, and that is a problem with cancel culture, because we have such a, you know, people always say, like, acknowledging your problem is the first step. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes now we've gotten afraid to be like, I think this is not okay.
Right.
I could be better. Because if you don't want to point out a flaw, you don't want to shine an unnecessary light on yourselves, or have, or when someone might point it out, you're just like, well, no, I've never. And then you're in this denial mode because you're afraid that if you open up that door, if you open up that crack, people will just attack, and then you're limiting any growth. And that kind of goes for society in general.
I think for me, I've always lived in a place of always being transparent. I just find transparency to be a lot easier, you know? Like I said, I've told my friends, I've been like, well, if they try to leak my news, I'm just gonna be like, well, what did you think I was doing? You just think I just sit at home all day? You know, like, I'm a human too, you know? Like, that's normal. That's what people are. That's how we operate.
Yeah,
you know?
No, that is true.
Yeah,
I've never taken a nude in my life. Have you always been a big dreamer?
Oh, absolutely. What was
your biggest dream as a kid? Like, I thought I was going to be a cartoonist when I was a kid. Did you ever have any kind of random, or was it always this?
It changed. It used to change. I used to want to be a pastry chef.
A pastry chef.
Then I used to want to be a plastic surgeon. And I think I wanted to be a plastic surgeon because I like the creativity of it. Like, I like the fact that you can change somebody's face.
Sure, but how much leeway do they give you? Hey, listen, go to sleep. I have a surprise for you.
I know, right? Yeah. So, like, I don't know why that was. But then I think once I got in middle school, it became, I want to be an actor. Okay. You know, I want to be, originally, it was like, I want to be on Broadway, which is still a dream of mine, you know? And so, but from there, I've just always lived in a space of like, if I were to ever leave this world, I did not want to leave the world thinking about what I could have or should have or would have done. You know, I wanted to be able to say that I did everything that I could with what I was given.
Yeah. But you kind of are a pastry chef. I mean, maybe not.
Somewhat.
Maybe not, like, you know. You don't have your store. You didn't necessarily go to school for it, but you do cook a lot.
I do cook.
Your videos. Yes. You're on YouTube.
Yes.
It's kind of how you were discovered.
Right. Through food. And you know what's funny about that is, like, at that time, like, people didn't know that I cooked. And what's funny is that people always ask about, like, my critiques and my opinions about food. And they always question, well, is it because you actually like, you know, making food? And I'm like, yeah, I love to cook. Like, I'm currently writing a cookbook, you know? Like, I loved it. Last night, because I was stress cooking, I made sweet potato pie and chicken and dumplings, you know? And it's just, like, random, but just for me.
You made chicken. How do you make chicken and dumplings?
Well, so first you got to make your little broth, you know? And then you put your chicken in there and you let it cook in the broth, and then you shred the chicken, and then I use buttermilk biscuits, and I roll them out and I cut them into strips with flour, and then I put it into the broth, and then the flour starts to make it become more of a gravy. Oh, it's absolutely delicious.
Yum. Mm-hmm. I had soup dumplings last night, but I went and got them.
Soup dumplings. Are those the dumplings that have, like, liquid in them?
Yep.
Yeah. Have you had them?
Yeah. Magic. Westville Century City.
Yeah.
Yep.
Magic. Magic. What's your favorite thing to cook?
Favorite thing to cook?
Peach cobbler.
Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, peach cobbler. Peach cobbler is like my specialty. And now I've changed up the recipe a little bit because I was, you know, making it so much. But back in the day when I was in high school and college, people used to buy my peach cobblers from me. And I would make them for the holidays. And then, like, sometimes I would even give it to them and they could bake it at home. Or I would bake it and give it to them.
Really? But, how old were you when you started cooking?
Oh, I've been cooking since I was, like, in elementary.
Who'd you learn? What did you learn?
Well,
mom? Like, so, I most of the stuff, I like to cook.
Uh-huh.
I don't feel like I'm as good as you.
Oh, my goodness.
But I've always had a knack for it, uh-huh. And I definitely got it from my mom.
Well, I actually am self-taught. So this is what happened was when I was in fourth grade, my mother got really sick. And so because she was sick, I had to learn how to take care of the household pretty much. And so that's when I learned how to cook. And so I would watch, like, my grandmother cook in the house. But really, I just kind of figured it out on my own and using cookbooks to help guide and teach me. And then it just became a passion of mine. Like, I love cooking for people. Last Thanksgiving, I did a whole Friendsgiving here in LA and I cooked like for 45 people. Like
45 people?
45 people.
That's a lot of people.
Yes. 45.
Yes. A lot of people to feed.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yes. And I cooked for like
four.
Really?
Five.
Yeah, no, it was a lot of people. And I started like at 4 a.m. and cooked all day.
We were at, like, Billboard Music Awards, and you were passing out peach cobbler
to
people.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was. And you know what's funny about that is that was my first red carpet.
Yeah.
And they were like, so what is something special that you can do on the carpet? I said, well, I can make peach cobbler. Like, why is that?
I was running the stage next to him, and I just saw people walking away with, like, Tupperware.
I don't even know what peach cobbler is.
Is
it a pie?
Kind of, but not.
Not.
It's not a pie. It has crust and it has peaches and it has cinnamon and it's very warm and makes you feel good. Now, in my new recipe, I add whiskey, vanilla whiskey, and that life-changing.
Life-changing.
So, yeah, it differs. But, yeah, no, we was at the Billboard Music Awards. I gave it to Kelly Clarkson. I gave it to John Legend. Like,
I was like, what's going on over there? Oh, no. Everyone's walking away with Tupperware.
Funny.
That's how you get people to stop. That's the key. You feed them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, anytime you come to my spot on the red carpet, it's going to be fun.
First time I met you on a red carpet, had a great time.
Yeah. What can I say? I'm not the person to be like, ooh, what are you wearing, darling? No, honey, I ain't got time for that. I could care less. You know, I'm here to have a good time.
What are some of your favorite questions you like asking on the red carpet?
I like playing the games. Like, we always play games and stuff like that. Like, we do, like, hot hands or something like that, or 5-second rule. And just having – I like to loosen people up because when you do a red carpet, you know, it's the same question over and over and over and over again, you know? And that can just feel so – like you're just stuck in one dimension. So when people come to me, it's more so I want you to feel like you're just here to have fun. Like, it shouldn't feel like you're always doing press and publicity all the time, you know? Like, you should be able to just be. And so that is always my goal.
That's great. I saw one of your videos and you talked, say I remember it correctly, but the ability to, or, you know, what doing something but not doing it necessarily for the recognition, right?
Yes.
And if you feel like you're doing it because you want to get that validation, maybe it's coming from, you know, a childhood
trauma or something like that.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah. I don't know.
Was it the pep talk one?
Yeah. It was really, it made me think about, like, all right, I guess I do that. I had a great childhood, but where does that come from? Where do you find that balance of doing that with yourself? I'm assuming that being a, like, for me, when I think about things that I'm passionate about, it's usually because I've related to it or I've experienced it and something I've overcome. Mm-hmm. Is that the same for you on kind of what motivates you or what gets you down? Like, where do you struggle? You talk about your sometimes being depressed or being happy. Like, how do you identify with like finding these things about yourself and then, you know, sharing it to, like, embedder your audience?
Like I said, transparency is so important to me, and I like people to look at me as a human being, as somebody that is very real, as somebody that has good days, that has bad days, that is on a roller coaster just with everybody else, regardless of who I work for, what I do, or how much money I make. It's very much that I want people to feel as though they can always relate to me. And I think some things that I struggle with that I'm starting to get better at is being present in the moment. Same. Yeah. And allowing myself.
How are you working on that?
So by allowing myself to take breaks and allowing other people to do the work and not me always having to be over somebody's shoulder like, well, let me see the script, let me do this or something like that, you know? Or like, I moved a friend of mine out here to be my assistant because I was just like, I'm getting overwhelmed and I don't know how to, I can't do it all myself. So trusting other people to handle
control.
Yes, releasing control. And that has started to allow me to be more present. But also when I need to take a break, taking a break. You know, like a couple weeks ago, I was just very overwhelmed from the week. We were working on like figuring out music videos and stuff for the Christmas album. And I was just like, I need to go away. So I literally got Tori and I was like, okay, we're going to Terranea. And I went to Terranea. And I like,
what's Terranea?
Oh, you never been to Terranea? Oh,
what's a Terranea?
You've been to Terranea?
No.
Oh, babe, Terranea is in Rancho Palos Verdes, and baby, it is luxury. Okay, that is a resort. I got down there. I gave Tori my phone. I said, no one is allowed to call or text me. Don't tell me if anything comes in. And it was just me in the ocean in Terranea.
It's a hotel.
Yeah, it's a resort. Y'all need to go. Okay.
Terranea.
You need to go Terranea. Now, it ain't cheap, but you know, you can buy Balsam Hill. So you can go.
I'm just going to make a video and just go Terranea.
Terranea. Go to Terranea, darling.
Do you think that sometimes, like, do you ever feel a pressure that because everyone looks at you as somebody who's so positive and mm-hmm. so energetic and so whatever all the time that you feel like you always have to be that way? And like, sometimes you can't be like just maybe sad, Kaylin, every once in a while?
Yes, I think there's a misconception. I think when people see who I am, they always expect me to be like the life of the party, you know, or to be like up in the club getting, you know, lit. And I'm not. I'm actually very, very quiet when I'm at home. I'm very to myself, you know. I think, though, even if they do have that perception, I never allow myself to only give that. You know, like, I'm the type of person, like, if you come at me in my comments, I'm probably going to clap back at you. And then people will be like, well, what happened to be kind to one another? And my response is, I'm not Ellen, baby. Like, don't get confused. You know, like, okay, like, I will check you. Like, I
will. You like to clap back.
Oh, absolutely. I can read somebody down for filth. Okay, don't come for me if I don't sin for you.
For me, for my own mental health, I'm like, don't fight with the internet because I feel like it's a winless battle. Really? I will, yeah. Well, except when I do it, I do it sometimes, mm-hmm. but I don't try to fight. Mm-hmm. I try to, usually it's just like, I'll just acknowledge them.
Okay.
And I'll make it seem like,
passive.
I take it as a compliment.
Uh-huh.
It's just like, oh, well, thanks for, you know, and that uh-huh. confuse them. It's like the equivalent of giving someone a thumbs up in traffic when they're beeping and flipping you off and you just smile and wave back. To me, I find that to be a more satisfying reaction than to match their anger and frustration. Uh-huh. And it just confuses people. Have you ever tried to do that where you accidentally cut someone off
you're actually
and they
honk
and they're flipping you off? You're just like, hey, how's it going?
Killing them with kindness.
Yeah. Basically. And it just, to see their reaction, they don't know what to do mm-hmm. and they just like explode. And that
but
makes
see,
me happy.
And I think maybe I get the gratification because they expect me to be nice. Yeah. They expect me to be weak. You know, because they think I'm like all goofy and fun and stuff. And then I get upset when I can't respond. You know, like if it's like, ooh, I just know I can get them right now, you know? And so then I just feel, ooh. But then when I do it, I'm like, oh, that feels wonderful, you know? Because they get shook because, you know, I'll be having a stunt.
Maybe that's what works. It's just surprise because people assume I'm going to be a dick and mm-hmm. I'm nice.
Or people assume that you guys probably wouldn't respond to them. So when you do, they're like, oh,
there's a lot of that.
They read it.
Oh, yeah. There's
definitely. Well, that's the biggest thing. They just think they don't assume you're going to read it.
Right.
Yeah. Or they don't see you as a human.
Right. Well, they don't see themselves as an important enough human. You know,
there's that. Too.
That's what it is that they think that they are so small that we aren't going to see. And no, it's like people, everybody matters, you know, like everybody matters. And I see everything regardless of who you are. Like that has nothing to do with it. It's social media, you know, and I don't think people realize that. But I mean, I'm always ready for a clap back. Don't knuck if you ain't got no buck, baby.
So good.
Not even sure I entirely understand it, but I love it.
I'm still on
Terranea.
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 Um, You've met some pretty obviously incredible people since you moved out to LA. Oprah, Michelle Obama.
Yeah.
Oprah, for me, it's weird. Like, I know she's a real person, but like, Oprah was, like, for me growing up, was so big that, like, I feel like she's still kind of imaginary in my mind. You know, there's certain, I don't get starstruck easily, and I've met some really amazing, famous people. Some people, like, Oprah's a person who, like, I know she's real, and I'm like, I'm sure if I met her, but like, when I hear you've met her, I'm just like, no, so she's real, right? Like, she's an actual person. Like, you know, she does seem, and to me, bigger than life. I don't know what it is about her.
Yeah.
But like, it's like to even meet her feels unobtainable for me, and I don't get starstruck very easily. She is definitely one of those people.
Well, you know, I think there's her. I think there's Beyonce. I think there's people like Mariah Carey. I think there's people like Ellen. I think she's in that category too.
Yeah.
I got to meet her, so it's a little different.
Right, well,
when I first met her, I was like, wow.
Yeah. Once it happens, you kind of become desensitized to it, you know. But actually, I'm glad you brought up the Oprah thing, because it's one of my favorite celebrity encounters. It's because it didn't feel... So this is how it happened. I knew that she was on the show. And so I was just sitting backstage, right? And I'm just like, minding my business. I'm just like, I'll just find it. She just walks past me. And her entire team just kept talking to me, kept saying hi. And like, they were like introducing themselves to me. And then what happened was, she was filming something backstage for like a digital series, and she was walking back to her dressing room, and they literally just put me in front of her, and she said, "Kaylin!" And that was why it was so special to me, because she genuinely knew me. And then she started talking to me about videos that like only like people that actually watch my stuff would know about. And I was just floored, because it was the most endearing and heartwarming experience of my life. And I feel like it was just another signifier that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, Kaylin.
Yeah.
This is making sense. If this woman can look at you and love your work and love who you are and embrace you this way, it was very like, I'm meeting my auntie. Like, I absolutely adored it. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then you're imagining Oprah like on her couch,
sitting Sunday at morning, home
on her, in, like a robe, right? Whatever, just like watching videos, Kaylin getting videos. A good laugh.
Yes.
That was something similar happened to me with Sia.
Mm.
I was at a friend's birthday party. And you know, cause Sia,
right,
like, you know, has her anonymity. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, people have kind of figured it out, but I didn't know at the time. So like, here's this woman at this party, and then she comes up to me and she says, "Hi, Nick. I'm Sia." And I was like, and she like, "I love your work." Uh-huh. It's a little different than your work, but like, Bachelor's I didn't really
amazing.
Do anything.
I love watching you get
and
broken
then we
up
just
with.
Shot the shit for like an hour, and she was super chill and cool. But for her to like introduce herself to me, and again, because it's Sia and who protects her anonymity, like I didn't know. And she like came up to me and was so calm about it. And I'm just like, so glad I was like, Oh my God.
Right.
And I panicked and wasn't sure what to do, but she was super calming and chill, and it was pretty neat. So yeah. And it is cool when someone like of that stature, she's like, "Wait, what? You know who?"
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a,
well, it's funny. That's something that both of you do, is like, you both have these kind of like shows and stuff like that you don't know that, like, I mean,
people
Obama be sitting at home watching The Bachelor. That would be cool.
Obama referenced The Bachelor in one of his speeches, like a joke. Now, that doesn't mean he watches it. That just could mean, you know, he has got a couple of writers like, "Hey, this just joke."
The majority of America watches The Bachelor.
But it's like not impossible that his daughters of kind of that age. And he's just like,
it's kind of funny to think about you guys like doing all this stuff and that people can, you don't know who's watching it.
Right.
I mean, Oprah was like, "Hey, Kate."
Well, I mean, and Michelle Obama did the same.
Oprah. I want to meet Oprah so bad.
Oh, it's magical.
Oprah makes me nervous. I feel like she has too much power.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like I just I don't know. Like, yeah, it's like I want to meet her, but it's just like, maybe it's best that I don't.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. No.
I want to meet her, but like, I don't know why I have this like image of her that's literally larger than life. I don't know.
Goddess like.
I mean, it was years and years and years of watching people. You know, like, I've become so desensitized now to being around Ellen all the time that I forget, you know? So like if we are doing a show and she walks out and everybody goes crazy, I forget that that's their first time. Because yeah. I've gotten so, like, I have her number, you know? So, like, it's, like, yeah. not that anymore, you
but
know?
But it's also, she's such a symbol, too, right. for, like, mm-hmm. what is, like, the LGBTQ, but she set the yeah. standard. She changed things. Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of people look at her that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says here you can crush the single ladies dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, have you, so I, last Halloween on Ellen, I performed as Beyonce. So I got Beyonce's backup dancers and everything. I was in full drag.
The single ladies dance. The mm-hmm. choreographer and one of the dancers is a man, is it not?
Not in the video. So the man, so Jaquel Knight is the one that choreographed single ladies. Yeah. Yes.
And but he's not in the video.
Which no. one? The Fisher music video.
Yeah.
No, it's two background dancers. Actually, and
isn't it one of the girls from Glee?
Okay, no, she does the live performances.
Oh, yeah. She does the live performance of the blonde girl from Glee.
I heard that one of the dancers was the choreographer dressed in drag, killing it because he couldn't find someone to do it. Just I could be totally wrong. Maybe this is.
I didn't hear that. I don't know where you got that from.
he's wearing Ivy Park. He's got his ear to the Beyonce, tunnel.
But you can do the dance, and you did the dance.
Yes, I can.
I kind of want to see that. Is there a video of this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to definitely watch that afterwards. So, yeah, I mean, like, you're just killing in life. You're having some fun. You're cooking. What's next for you? Other than the, well, not other than, but you got the music video that's mm-hmm. going to be super big.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so actually this is, and I haven't talked about this yet. So the way that I strategized my rollout based off of how Mariah Carey did the All I Want for Christmas campaign last year. How it was just like nonstop Christmas content all the time. So I actually did a music video, but I also did a short film. So I shot a short film for the entire album. That is a visual album. So it's kind of like a movie musical that I'm going to release in December. And so I'm excited about that because I wanted to definitely give it to people in doses. I didn't want to just give it all to everybody at once. So I think after this, you know, I've been thinking about possibly doing more music, but I definitely think that once Broadway opens back up, I want to do Broadway.
Oh, that's the dream.
That'd be so good. Yeah.
I want to go to New York and do Broadway.
That'd be so good.
Also want to do Dancing with the Stars, but that's...
Oh, Nick has done Dancing
with the Stars. I feel like you... That's... if.
Oh, baby, so you put me on Dancing with the Stars. It's a wrap for everybody. Send everybody home.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, I feel like... There's some people in the Dancing with the Stars world who listen to this podcast. I think you putting it out there. You're an easy cast.
Please.
I've... No disrespect to Dancing with the Stars, but you know, you're on your way this way.
Uh-huh.
You know? Uh-huh. There's kind of a, like,
are you trying to say he's too big for Dancing with the Stars?
No, like, well, listen.
You're like, he's not Scott Baio.
Zendaya did Dancing with the Stars. There are some people on their way up who do Dancing with the Stars, and there's some people who are going in the other direction.
Right. Well, I think it depends on why you want to do it. You know, are you doing it because you need a check, or are you doing it because you just want to do it? Like, I just want
to
do it.
I'd like to think I did it on my way up. Some people like to think I was doing it on my way down. I think things are going in the right direction, but it was a little different from it's like, it was almost like a next step after that, you know.
Well, I think I'm trying to just get into the ABC family so I can go to Disneyland.
I think they would welcome you.
Please.
What? Yeah, I feel like that's easy. Just put it out there. Rob Mills was our guest last week, who is in charge of that. Yeah. So we'll just let Rob know.
Yeah, please. Make a call.
I just feel like that's super an easy cast for them.
Or make me the first gay bachelor. Now that would be quality.
You'd
want to
do that?
Oh, absolutely. That would be quality television.
I still think that would be hard cast.
It would really shake the table.
It
works in paradise, but it doesn't, like, the whole show is based off of having a single person that, and then withholding that love. And if you have a house full of people who are also attracted to one another, no one's going to care about the bachelor or the bachelorette.
It does get a little
the
messy.
Whole idea is to, like, put this person on a pedestal and then have you never see them and then fall in love with them in your mind, you would forget the person exists if the house was
filled with people who liked each other.
Who are, like, sexually attracted to each other. It would be a different, it would be paradise. So yeah. It's just hard to do.
Well, we can do a gay paradise.
I mean, I'm watching it.
Messy Bessie.
Would you really want to go on Bachelor? Do you watch Bachelor in Paradise? Do you watch Bachelor?
I watch Bachelor and Bachelorette, but not Bachelor in Paradise. I know, random, right?
That's the Bachelor best.
Paradise is the best one.
That's what I always hear. I don't think I even knew like Bachelor in Paradise happened. Okay, well, okay. So
those producers are good.
Well, this is when I got upset with the Bachelorette was after Rachel's season.
Okay.
When she didn't pick Peter. Oh. That made me mad.
Well, if you talk to Rachel about it, that she was always gonna pick Brian. And do you feel the same way? Yeah, it seems like you do.
She should have picked Peter.
That's not fair to Rachel.
She should have picked Peter.
I don't think she should have.
Really? Well, are you friends with Brian?
Yeah.
Well, then that's why you
buy. I don't really know Brian that way. I've met Brian. I'm good friends with Rachel.
Okay.
And so
because Rachel came from your season.
I'm defensive of any lead in the idea of, listen, they're telling a story. And just because Peter may seem more likable and maybe he's more likable, that doesn't mean Rachel should love Peter or should want to be with Peter the rest of his life. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a difference between like you wanting to look at him and you liking him and you thinking he's more charming. Then Rachel, like, we're talking about a romantic connection.
Yeah. And actually experiencing.
And experiencing that. Yes. And Brian might just be the quiet, maybe all the things that we talk about we need in relationships, comfort, relatability, communication, sexual attraction, all those things. Maybe Brian, those things aren't necessarily portrayed on a reality TV show. Yeah. And so I'm very defensive of everyone who on that show, like America, as you are kind of suggesting, will have this pressure of like, you're supposed to love this person because we like watching him on TV. And that's truly the most insane thing. And then people are telling us who we should love and then judging us for it. And in someone from Rachel's position, it's like you try to have that perspective, but you're just like, I love this person. I'm with this person. I'm feeling judged for it. And it's hard.
But it's also the fun of it.
Well, not for Rachel. I mean, honestly,
for the audience.
I empathize and feel for Rachel because I don't think she gives much shit about it now, but that was something when it was happening.
Was it a big thing?
Yeah. Well, when you feel like America likes the person you don't want to be with or thinks you should pick the person you don't want to pick better than the person you picked, and that's one thing, but then to judge you as a person, to make mean comments, to criticize your choices based on so much information you don't know is not fair. And this is no disrespect to Peter, but on that show, you see silos of people. You see one of their many personalities. Right. And it's just...
Well, I mean, with that argument, I think that's all of us. Anybody that has any type of public status or, you know, is in the light.
Yeah.
You know, that's everybody you talk about scope.
I when all the stuff was going on with Ellen, I mean, I personally relate, like, I don't want to say I related to Ellen, but you know, I can be short. I can be cold. I like to be kind and nice and generous. I also, people will think I'm a dick sometimes. Like Ellen's always been kind to me. When Ellen came out and said like the be nice mantra, she's right. She does. She sets herself up in a sense because there's an expectation of always being a certain way. And then the expectation of your audience that you're not allowed to be human. And the human is to have good days and bad days and always be on. And, you know, people could make the argument, well, you asked for this life and blah, blah, you know, it's just like, whatever.
That's why I am so very transparent to say I'm not Ellen.
Yeah.
You're not going to get that from me, you know?
Yeah. And Ellen is also human. But like I empathize with we have sides that are easiest for us to show. We have sides about ourselves that we like showing people. For some people it's just easier than others. But there's so many things about us that, you know, if the people we love and trust and really allow those people to get to know us, really see us for who we are. And sometimes it's just a challenge to pick and choose what other people get to know. And sometimes we accidentally show sides of ourselves we don't want people to know and stuff like that.
Well, we're multifaceted. You
know? Yeah. So, reality TV.
Reality TV.
Reality, period.
I know you love games. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to play a game with us before we let you go?
Okay, yeah, let's play a game.
We play it with all our favorite guests. All Yay! Our guests. Well, most of our guests. Sometimes it just doesn't make sense.
Sometimes it doesn't make sense.
It's called Do You Know Me?
Okay.
Real simple. Okay. I'm going to ask you a question. Does Kaylin this? Does Kaylin that? Don't answer right away. Answer in your mind. Chrissy and I will then decide who knows Kaylin better.
Okay.
If you have an anecdotal story to share to help answer your question, we would love to hear it. If simple yes or no also is fine.
Okay.
Do You Know Me? With Kaylin Ellen, singer of the wonderful hit new Christmas album.
For Christmas sake.
For Christmas sake. Can Kaylin touch their tongue to their nose? Can Kaylin touch their tongue to their nose? Honestly, I have no idea. Usually I'm good at like...
I want to say sure.
I haven't seen his tongue. I'm going to say no, because I think just statistically, most people can't.
Really? I thought most people could.
Can you?
I can't.
No, I have a short tongue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say sure. Yeah.
The answer is no. I can't.
Do you wish you could?
I can't. I have a super tiny tongue.
No, I think I'm okay.
Yeah. I think I'm okay.
I'm fine. Okay.
Has Kaylin cried in the last 24 hours?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to also say no. I don't think you're a crier. It doesn't mean you can't cry, but I don't think you are a crier. Getting to know you, this resilient person. Yeah.
No.
No crying.
No crying.
Mm-mm. Does Kaylin drink pumpkin spice lattes in the fall? No.
Yes.
No.
No. So let me elaborate on my answer. Being the chef that he is, pumpkin spice lattes are way too cliche, and everyone's doing it. He has a far more...
I don't know. He's from the East Coast. I thought maybe...
But a caramel brulee latte.
See?
Now.
There you go. There's nothing about Kaylin that screams...
Pumpkin spice.
Pumpkin spice. But whatever you just said, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Caramel brulee lattes.
That's exactly what I was expecting.
Caramel
brulee. Was Kaylin part of a clique in high school? If by part of a clique he was the leader of his own cult, then maybe, not cult, but
maybe,
like,
I would say probably like a theater clique. So I'm going to say sure, like the theater clique.
Well, clique suggests that you were, I think you had, people are attracted to you. You had followers, also called friends, followers. But you were a bit of a, you've always been a leader. And so I'm going to say no, that you might have, you had friends, but they kind of did what, you were very suggestive and very convincing. And you didn't join a group that had its traditions and did what they did. And I don't mean like, yeah, you were in drama and you were in, you know, you did stuff, but yeah, that's my answer.
Well, the answer is no. I've always been very solo dolo because I'm an only child. So I was always just like,
You're an only child.
Yep. I'm like, I'm good by myself.
I can play by myself. I'm good.
Okay. Me, myself, and I is all I got in the end.
I thought maybe the drama thing.
I have 10 siblings, but I'm like an only child, which I don't want to spend time with them.
Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot. Mm. It's like a Home Alone house. Maybe that's why you didn't like Christmas that much.
I loved Christmas as a kid. My parents.
Did you guys all get like one present?
No, my parents kicked ass for Christmas. My mom would start Christmas shopping in January.
Like,
how? Oh, y'all was rich.
Oh, she no. Got, no,
where
she
you
got.
From?
No, in January, you Christmas shopping. That's the sales after Christmas.
Oh. Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. My mom, I had a great childhood. Mm-hmm. We were by no means rich. My parents always struggled to get by, but they worked hard. And I had a, you know, we were middle class, but. Mm-hmm.
What state?
Wisconsin. But like, my parents bought me what they had enough money to buy me what we needed, and what we wanted we had to buy ourselves.
Which child were you?
I'm the second oldest. I'm the oldest boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
My mom would start, my mom would look for Christmas presents year round because they had to find the deals.
Mm-hmm. Love a good coupon.
I've been like, you each get one present.
One that you
There's
share.
There's not enough room under
but
this
But it was
tree
like, that's the thing. Like, I got some great gifts and things I really wanted. And I think some of they weren't always new. Some of them may be used, but always great. Like, you know, my mom just could find a good deal and worked hard at being a good gift giver.
Okay.
Has Kaylin ever broken something at a friend's house and not told them? No, he's too honest.
Yeah, I say
he would just find a way to own it and apologize and make up for it. He's he would never not say it.
I don't even think I've ever broken anything. I think people have broke stuff at my house, but
call them out.
Yeah, but never at theirs.
Does Kaylin know how many people he slept with?
I'm going to say yes. Most people know how many people they slept with. I know how many people I slept with. I'm going to go off myself. I don't know if I can name all of them, but I know.
I definitely stopped counting. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean I feel. I'm going to say no. And without any judgment.
No judgment.
I'm not sitting around keeping a tally. No. What? Who does that? They're like, ooh, well, there's one for this week. Oh, how many was like, I don't have time for that. Keep it pushing. Keep it moving.
Thank you.
I'm doing so bad at this game.
Does Kaylin like to people watch? Everyone likes the people watch.
I love a good people watch. Yeah. I'd probably be better at people watching if I lived in New York.
Oh, yeah.
Like if I was just sitting in Central Park. I'd be people watching all day.
Last question.
Okay.
Has Kaylin ever accidentally sent an inappropriate text or email to the wrong person? Yeah. We all have.
I'll say no.
Mm-mm.
Never?
Mm-mm. Nope.
You never been like, oh, shit. How do I...
No. I think I'm too careful for that. Yeah. No.
I got one.
I'm too absent-minded to not have that not happen to me.
Really?
I've done it. Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Ignore that. Yeah, no.
My chest looks so good, doesn't it? No, just kidding.
Not an inappropriate picture, but just like that. I mean, I accidentally text people all the time. Most of the time, it's been nine and been like, hey, that wasn't for you. It's like, it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. There's been a couple of times where I'm like, you know, if you're talking about, like, if you're talking,
oh, like you're talking about a person, I actually send it to the person I've instead never, of.
Oh, like when you're. Oh, okay. I get like when you're talking to somebody about a person and you're thinking of that person, though you accidentally type in their name and then send a message to them.
I've had that happen to me. Someone talking about me, and sent to me instead of the person they meant to send it. I've had that happen more than once.
Ooh, now see, I would love that's something fun. Like that. That's,
you clap really, back.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd be ready.
I've really enjoyed that.
I'd be like, speed down. So what was being said? What'd you say? Say it with your chest. You know? Oh, I'd be
love it.
Juicy.
Juicy.
Kaylin, this has been so much fun.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
I really enjoy talking with you. You're welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
Congratulations on all your success, especially your album, For Christmas Sake. Check it out now. It's out now. Get in the Christmas spirit, people, right now. I don't know what is going on in the world a week from now, but chances are a good Christmas jingle and song will make you feel better.
That's all we need.
And Kaylin is here to bring it to you.
Period. Yeah, that's going on.
Where else can people find you?
You know, you can find me on everything. I make it very simple. You can find me on all social media platforms at The Kaylin Allen.
Thank you guys for listening. I'm just jealous because I don't have like I don't have that synergy across all. Really? My Twitter's all just a mess. That's fine.
Mine's the as well.
The Kaylin Allen
makes it legit.
It makes it legit. I just got too many people with my name. That's why. Understand that.
Thanks much. Thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to send us your questions at asknick@castmedia.com for our Ask Nick episodes. Please subscribe, rate 5 stars. Until next time, we will see you on Monday.
Toodaloo.
What's the name of the hotel?
Terminator.